Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnerall, Julie Hayne, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. A lot going on today. We're going to have Carl Honegger on here in like a second, but want to let you know, too, at the bottom of the hour, Representative Brandi Bradley is going to be on and explaining why the much ballyhooed property tax special session is really just a con job. And so, which we suspect.
You'll be shocked about that, but they,
you'll be shocked.
It's a bipartisan screw job. So
there you go. But want to start off with Carl Honegger. He's an analyst who has been on top of, from the beginning, Kent Thierry's evil plot to destroy the election system in Colorado. And it is moving forward. So Carl, first off, thank you. Welcome to the show. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I'm going to tell you a story about what's really happening in terms of in Colorado. We've got all these election ads that you see on the TV, maybe, where they're talking about letting Colorado voters have better choices, letting them vote. They're kind of focusing on the primary. So what's interesting, though, is this has very little to do with the primary. It has to do with what Catherine Murdoch and Kent Thierry, they both sit on the board of Unite America, are wanting to do here in Colorado. But I like this quote, "One thorn of experience is worth a whole wilderness of warning," by James Lowell. And Alaska is the warning. So this is very recent news, but there's actually a very similar setup in Alaska. It's a top four ballot. So in other words, you can have as many people as you want, any party. The party doesn't get to control who says they're a member of the party. In the primary, everyone gets the same ballot. And then the top four vote getters go on to the general election. So in Alaska, it's interesting because it makes it super simple to understand that they have one U.S. House representative because their population is so low.
Okay.
So they've got one U.S. House representative. It's been a Republican since the 50s, except for the last election they had, they ended up electing a Democrat. And context is Alaska, it's about 15% of Alaska voters are registered Democrat.
Wow.
So it's very unlikely, unless you have a gaming of the system, to elect a Democrat as a U.S. representative. So here's the deal. They recently had their primary in Alaska. They had 12 people on the ballot for the U.S. seat. They had six people who were going to consider. And so of those six people, the sixth choice was this Eric Hafner. And he is a Democrat. The primary Democrat, Mary Peltola, who is serving in Congress right now, was the other Democrat. So what happened is two people dropped off. Remember, it's a top four. So two people withdrew. The sixth place then becomes fourth place. Eric Hafner is running from prison. He is serving a 20-year prison sentence for threatening public officials, and he has his address as like a storage unit, probably where his stuff is, right? Because he's in prison.
Right.
And so the Democrat Party is currently, of Alaska, is currently suing to keep him off the ballot, because this amazing magical system that was supposed to, you know, make all this wheeling and dealing that we don't like in politics, all this backroom deals, that is still continuing. This does not fix the system. It makes it that much worse. I mean,
Right.
the idea of having a in prison prisoner on the ballot for U.S. House representatives is the way the system works. It makes so that those are your results. That's why we have primaries.
Right.
That's why parties should have primaries. If you want to have, you know, six people on the ballot or whatever, then, you know, make it so that you can have like six different parties or something like that. And you have six different flavors. But this gaming of the system is set up perfectly so that in the back room, they say to these other Republicans, hey, if you two drop out, then we'll still have two Democrats, two Republicans on the ballot. But one of those Democrats will be far left. He'll be a person in prison. And then we'll be able to like attack the Democrats. So the thing is that I could talk all day about like the theoretical stuff that we see in these TV ads
right.
that Kent Theory is talking about, but we don't need to talk about theoretical. We can talk about actual what's happened in Alaska. Why is this a horrible idea for all voters, especially for the fact that Colorado has so many unaffiliated voters? Unaffiliated voters should have more choices, not choices that are determined by the whoever's not someone's in charge of the parties now, but whoever's in charge of who's going to be on the ballot. So all this backroom deals is how
right.
you end up with somebody like Hafner.
Well, and let me just, what we're talking about is it's Initiative 310, and it was just, it's another Kent Theory, you know, that's destroyed Colorado election system. He's an open primaries guy, and it just got enough signatures to be on the ballot. So Colorado voters will be voting on this in November. And essentially what it does is, like you said, it sets up what they call a jungle primary. There's no party assembly, no party caucuses. The parties are irrelevant. And anybody who wants can be on the ballot. Anybody who wants can call themselves a Republican or a Democrat. They vote. And then they go to ranked choice voting, right? So then the top four will go to the general election, and somehow an algorithm will determine basically who the winner is, right?
Yeah. And so the thing about the system that's key, because I used to think that ranked choice voting was often better than some other alternatives. But the key really is the throwing out of your ballot. So
right.
The way you get somebody elected is by looking at the lowest vote getter, and then you look at those ballots, and then in the process of tossing those out, you look at their second choice and assign those votes. So the problem is that by tossing out ballots, you're not actually capturing the full desire of the voter. You're just looking at the voter's second choice, only looking at that, using that to then run a calculation. So it's, I wouldn't say it's really a voting system. It's an election system. So it's a way to calculate and elect someone. You're not actually counting all the votes. You're not looking at someone's ballot and saying, okay, they've got four people. They may have voted for just one, or they may have voted for all four in a certain order. Or you're not doing that. And so I think that's probably my biggest problem. If someone's an unaffiliated voter, and they want to have more choices, great. But don't use ranked choice voting where you're throwing out some of their choices.
Right. Well, and Chuck, as you pointed out, they want to get rid of it in Alaska, right?
Yeah, well, they've got it has been, so it'll be on the election November, whatever it is, 7th this year. And I don't know what the prospects are, but I would think it would be pretty good considering what a disaster it was the last election. But maybe not. You just never know. But, you know, you assume that the Republicans, you know, the Democrats constitute 15%. I'm not sure the Republicans do, but you would hope that they'll repeal it. And if they repeal it, I think that's a great reason why we don't want to have it here in Colorado, but we'll just have been decided already. I think most Republicans know that it's a bad system. But, you know, there's a ton of independents. And I'm not sure if Democrats one way or the other. They control Colorado. They've rigged the system enough with mail ballots and all the rest that they control everything. So why do you want to give up a system where you control everything to a system that really is only for the rich, because only the rich will be able to put all the advertising in to try to get name recognition. So, when you say, well, you know, I'm sure Colorado voters are smarter than that, you go, maybe, maybe not. But the problem is that Kemp Theory will put out tons of ads. There'll be no contrary ads because nobody else is putting their money in. And who knows?
Yeah, it'll definitely be on each individual county party to message to, when they are getting out the vote for Trump, to also include, hey, you have got to vote against this initiative because it's completely astroturfed. The whole system, too, of like, we've had people who have been advocates of ranked choice voting here in Colorado for a long time. And I remember it might have been the year I wrote my first article about this, it might have been 21, when I was talking to someone, I won't name them specifically, but who's worked a lot on spreading ranked choice voting to Colorado, especially like different counties and such that have adopted it.
Right.
She was saying that this is just an abomination of ranked choice voting. Because ranked choice voting, if you're going to adopt it in the general election, it really should be based off of, hey, Colorado has like 8 different political parties. So then we have 8 different candidates, and the primaries used to narrow down who's associated with each party. And then in the general election is when you get those 8 choices. And, you know, it's a little bit more complicated of a ballot than just 4, but that's actually what it's designed for. And what the advocates have actually wanted for the last 100 years or so, this idea of Kent Theory comes directly from his work with Catherine Murdoch, and it's designed explicitly to make it easier to game the system, because then you can't have somebody like, like an RFK or somebody else, let's say somebody like them associates themselves with a smaller political party so they can get on the ballot. But this system is designed so that in the primary, all that matters is how much money you have. And then in the general, how you're on the ballot is based off of, the backroom dealing. So like we saw, for example, Hafner gets on the ballot in Alaska because 2 Republicans drop out. So it'd just be that exact same thing. We'd probably see it in heavily leaning, Democrat districts. You'd probably see that maybe you have like 3 Democrats make it to the ballot and then 1 Republican, and then you have some like crazy Republican. And some of these are out there, right? Like there's a guy in the House district next to me in 2020 who was like anti-homeschooling when everyone was homeschooling, right? Because everyone had no choice. And so the thing is, in that situation, because you don't have the party controlling the primary at all, you'll get somebody like that. The Democrats are going to drop 2 people. He'll sneak in. And so all of that's just going to, it's going to be way worse.
Yeah. It'll be, again, the fact that Kent Theory and Catherine Murdoch are doing it, and they're not just doing it in Colorado, right? I think it's in Montana, yeah. Nevada, Oregon. These are rich people who, once again, don't want to leave election results to stupid voters, right? They want to just, yeah. If you control who's on the ballot in the first place, you know, and like you said, and they game the system so they make sure that their candidate, becomes sort of the only obvious choice. Then they win and they've got the money to pour in. I mean, if you're a grassroots candidate, it seems to me, without a ton of money, I mean, you don't even really need to apply in a system like this, right?
Yeah. And, again, it's super interesting because the way that the money can be spent is just the way that like Kent Theory did it with getting rid of Gallagher. So Kent Theory went to some Republicans and said, hey, endorse our initiative to get rid of Gallagher. And so then he sent to kind of conservative leaning people and said, hey, end Gallagher. So he will probably be able to do the same thing in these primaries and say, hey, like these guys, Kent Theory will probably know ahead of time that he can just, whatever it is, offer them money or whatever to drop out.
Right.
He knows that he can get them onto the ballot. They're not a threat. He can get them to drop out, and then so he can get whoever he wants in that top four.
Right.
And so it's just a ridiculous, it's not going to make anything as clear for voters. In addition to what we're used to, even though it's not legally always like the end result, what we're used to is you have, especially for Congress, a race on Tuesday night, the voting happens, it's collected, and you maybe know that night or the next day. With ranked choice voting, it's not official till you get that official like in December. So
wow.
That's what happened last time in Alaska. They weren't sure who was actually elected. And so it's kind of like, why have that month long, like drawn out process for every single U.S. House and U.S. Senate election here in Colorado, and the
but
ones down the ballot.
It would be for governor, right? I mean, it would be for legislative seats. I mean, it would be, the way I understand it, it would be pretty much for everything but sort of county commissioners or something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this covers, well, let me ask you this too. I mean, when you talk about election integrity, there would be no point, there's no hand counting ballots in a system like this, right? There's no, I mean, how do you even, I mean, because they just change it. And who do, as I understand it, like there's an algorithm then that kind of runs and says, okay, well, who do we kick off? And then you recalculate the votes and who comes in. Who determines that? Would that be Jenna Griswold programming that on her cell phone or something? I mean, I'm being facetious a little bit there, but how does that work?
Yeah, so that's definitely where, because they can't legally say who's won till they've done the auditing. That's why, yes, they'll have a machine and they'll have it run the election that Tuesday night or Wednesday or so. And then they've got to go through the auditing process. And that's where you're going to see it's going to be contentious, because Alaska's only had this one U.S. House seat have an election. And so if we have in all eight districts here in Colorado, and every once in a while the U.S. Senate seats, and it takes a month for us to get the results, that puts no, like, voters are not going to trust the system in Colorado.
No.
We're going to have disengagement. Like, it's as bad as it is now. Like, voters are going to like the system even less now, which is why they're putting it to repeal on the ballot in Alaska. Because what happened is the only reason it got on the ballot in Alaska was because it included a provision restricting dark money. Now, just like any restrictions on money, as we've seen across the United States, they usually get tossed out. So what happens is that specific section gets tossed out almost immediately after it gets passed by the Alaska Supreme Court. So what stuck was the whole ranked choice voting, jungle primaries, and so it wasn't that hard. I mean, they put a lot of effort into it, but they were definitely able to collect enough signatures to get the repeal on the ballot. And I think that it's pretty likely anybody who's engaged and who used the system 2 years ago is probably going to vote against it, vote to repeal it in Alaska.
Well, one of the things about this is it sound, I mean, what Ken Thier, I think, is going to push all the buttons, right? It's going to be inclusive. It's going to be middle of the road. It's going to be moderate. It's going to make it seem as if, you know, you weed out the extremists. But, and so, I mean, that's my concern, is that people are going to be like, oh, well, that sounds good then. And not understand, like you said, that what seems to me to be a deep underlying corruption built into the system, basically.
Yeah. Because that whole idea of eliminating party power is where you get the corruption is going to be based off of money and that dark money. And so just like we've seen that a lot in Colorado, where it's like the very wealthy will hide who they're supporting. I think this is kind of what Kent Thierry and why he's getting people to support it is because we have that system right now in terms of the dark money can be hidden, but in the end, you still need to support, you still need to have the parties support certain candidates, right?
Right.
So if you eliminate all the power of the parties, then you can use just dark money PACs to do all of the election spending, and you won't
Right.
really see the parties do any spending.
And you won't know who to, well, Chuck, I mean, what's your thought in terms of what, you know, I mean, as we know, there's civil wars going on within the Republican Party, and then there are wars between Democrats and Republicans. But all of, I mean, what do you, to me, this would just, there'd be no point to being a political party in Colorado, would there?
Well, no, there really wouldn't be, and therefore all will be are just somebody with money, and that's all it's going to be, because there's not even, newspapers anymore. There's no really contrary system to advertising. There's no check or balance on advertising now. But what for an election these days is what you hear on wherever you hear it, on the television, or hear it on a podcast, or you hear it on someplace else. But it's going to be no one. There's going to be no grassroots candidates. They won't exist. What'll exist are well-funded candidates who can get their name out in any way they can. And so, I mean, it is amazing how bad an idea this is. But who's going to push against it? I mean, let's say the Denver Post comes out against it. Well, who cares? Nobody reads their editorials, which are left-wing and nutty, but who reads anything in the Denver Post? So all it'll be with money that you can send out for flyers and advertising through every mode you can. But it's going to produce some really awful people. Not that the people we have are so great, but
But at
even
least we
worse
kind
kind
of
of
have a
people.
vote. Well,
Yeah, I mean,
Carl.
it's going to be sad. And the trouble is, how are you going to get out to people that this ranked choice voting and jungle primaries is really an awful idea? I don't know, because there's no money on that side.
Is there, Carl? I mean, is there any sort of formal opposition to this or?
The parties have some opposition, but the only organized opposition I see is the Democrats. I brought this up to our former state party chair a couple of years ago, and a lot of people didn't really pay attention to it because they thought, well, this is like a, you're talking about something that's proposed, like it's not on the ballot yet, and people don't pay attention to it until it's on the ballot a lot of times. So
Right.
now it's on the ballot, I think it's really each individual county chair's responsibility to address fighting this on every single county level and educating voters. Because the thing is, they don't really talk about ranked choice voting when they advertise this, if you've seen the ads, the pro, because it actually polls very poorly. So that's why they're focused on just primaries. And same thing in Idaho. So Idaho just got approved like a couple of days ago to be on the ballot. But they didn't really advertise the ranked choice voting part, and they're not, because that doesn't poll well, because of the fact that like their Secretary of State in Idaho said it would cost $25 to $40 million to adopt a new tabulation system. Now, of course, we don't have someone we can trust here as Secretary of State, but I can imagine it could be similar, like $20 million or so, just to implement this system. And so just getting out and educating people is the key, because as
Right.
soon as you introduce them to ranked choice voting, give them the facts, we're like, oh, wait a second, this isn't the same thing as the mailers I'm seeing.
Right. Well, and let me ask you this back to this too.
Well,
It's like, again, with, oh, go ahead, Chuck.
one of the things is leaving it to the counties, right? Which is the Democratic County Party, and let's say Adams County. There's no capacity for the Adams County Republican Party to do anything. They don't have the money, they don't have the volunteers, they have no capacity to do anything. And so when you say leave it to the counties, well, that means you're not going to get anything.
That's alarming.
Yeah.
Well, what about back to the election integrity issue? Because it seems to me that, okay, at least currently, and again, a lot of issues about election integrity. But at a bottom line, if a race is contested, you can go back and you can recount the ballots. But it's confusing to me, and I think the system is designed to be confusing in terms of how they actually in the ranked choice voting. So the lowest can if they don't get 50% plus, the lowest candidate is thrown out, and then they sort of reallocate the votes and figure out who the next top three are, right? And then they throw the bottom one out and then they reallocate again. I mean, that just seems How would you even ever verify that except through having the machine do it itself again, right? And if the machine is flawed or you have a question about the machine, I mean, I don't even know how you would begin to count that.
Yeah, I think it's, again, that thorn of experience is worth a wilderness of warning. The way it happened in Alaska is they had the two Republicans running, one of them, Sarah Palin, right? Very well known nationally. And they had the second highest Republican. They made sure that voters put the Democrat as second choice. And so in that situation, what happened is the Republicans kind of split the vote, but it was like everyone who voted for the second Republican, their ballots got thrown out in terms of their first choice. Their second choice went to the Democrat, electing the Democrat. And so really the idea that Alaskan voters wanted a Democrat to represent them is just false. The
Right.
System elected the balloting system, even if it was to be hand counted, let's say it was small enough you could hand count it, whatever.
Right.
The system is electing this person. It's
right.
not really the people. The people's
right.
voice is not truly being represented.
Well, and could people game the system? For instance, you know, we've done voting in county assemblies, right? Or CD district assemblies where you're voting for numerous people, right? So you're sort of ranked choice voting, right? And what you can do is if you don't want, there's somebody who you think might have some power, so you just don't put their name down. So in other words, you just put your name down at the top, right? Can you do that? Do you have to put four down? And how does that work if somebody only puts, like, say, one candidate down? Does that mess it up, or what happens then?
Well, so in that case, that's not so much the worry as
okay.
the way that they only allow four people. So what happened in Alaska's election is they had the four people, one dropped off, and then so you only had three. So
right.
again, that's kind of odd in terms of, like, you have people who do the primary, and then people vote for that person in the primary, and the person just withdraws. Probably
by
just
design,
some backroom dealing or whatever. Right, yeah. Right.
They did drop out by design. That was worked out
yeah.
ahead of time.
And so, of course, now in this year, Hafner, who is trying to get elected from prison, he's not going to drop off, right? Because obviously,
right.
like, he's maybe not mentally all there. So he's going to stay on the ballot. And so I think that's kind of the thing, is like the backroom dealing that we have no control over
right.
is going to make the most difference in determining who gets elected.
Okay.
And so that's where voters who voted. So in other words, you're talking about, like, if people kind of undervote, so they're allowed like three votes, right, in a three person race. And what happens, though, is all that matters to people putting the money in
okay.
is the first and second place. So they're focused on splitting it up so that, okay, these people don't want Sarah Palin. Let's make sure they vote second place Democrat. These people want Sarah Palin. Let's make sure that they vote second place Democrat or whatever. So it's just like, that's how the money works. It's going to be spent to make sure that voters always think about their second choice being the person that
that's going to win.
Catherine Murdoch wants, Kent Theory wants, et cetera.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's a backup plan. It's not
right.
so much, it's advertised like a backup plan for voters, but the way it works is a backup plan for the donors.
Let me ask you this, because we have to let you go now, because we've got Brandy Bradley coming up. I know you have written about this. Is your stuff, where you explain it so well, is that posted anywhere yet for people to see, or are you still kind of putting that together?
I'm still working on an update, but I mean, just go ahead and Google the Alaska and Hafner, Hafner, and Democrats, because it's recently in the news, and it's just hilarious to read that the Democrat Party is trying to keep this guy off the ballot.
All right. Hey, Carl, listen, thank you for your time
yeah,
and your
thank
expertise
you, Carl.
On
appreciate
this. Appreciate
you
it.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Thank you very much, Carl Honegger. So that's, guys, Initiative 310. It's going to be on the ballot. I think it's just going to be so crucial that everybody gets educated about it. We'll switch now to Brandi Bradley, representative from Littleton, one of the true heroes down there at the state legislature. Brandi, I said thank you for your time on this Friday afternoon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Brandi, it's great. Saw you down at the Republican Assembly down in Castle Rock. And that was a lot of fun.
That's one way to put it.
Hey, listen, so we wanted to have you on. Chuck has been like fuming and all right, but he's just been concerned about the property taxing. All along, Chuck, you predicted backroom deals, bad deal that went through. So I'll let you kind of open up with Brandi and what you want to get to.
Well, you know, I wrote an editorial on it saying this is a bipartisan screw job of the Colorado homeowners. The Barbara Kirkmeyers and the rest of them, Anschutz, will get together with Colorado Concern and also with Advance Colorado and make sure that the commercial interests are served. The Democrats will shove it through with Republican support. And then when it's over, you'll get articles saying, boy, the progressives are so mad that Republicans got so much because it's such a great deal for Republicans. And it really isn't a great deal. And maybe you can tell us why it's not a great deal.
Well, you know, to be fair, it wasn't a bad deal. It wasn't the worst bill that we've seen. The reason that I chose to vote no on it is because I thought the voters deserved to vote on property tax relief. You had 200,000 people that signed for those ballot initiatives to be put on the ballot. And I thought it wasn't fair to them to be left out of the right deal that was done. Now, on the flip side of that, because you did have some very conservative people vote in favor of that bill, you know, do you just vote against all property tax relief? I mean, it is $1.6 billion versus the $2.5 billion. Do we go back to a special session? So there were people that were nervous that if we didn't get this done, that, you know, our constituents would see none. What we would have liked to have seen, and there are some other things in the works right now that I can't tell you about just yet, but what we would have liked to have seen is the ballot initiatives be voted on, and if they weren't voted on, then a special session, right? That would have been the fair thing to have done.
Right. Well, and I think here's the thing, too. So the ballot initiative, I think, would have like made this a long-term deal, right? So this is, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is a deal that the Democrats, who could very well have a supermajority next year, they could just go in and kind of undo, maybe not immediately, but they can undo this kind of sort of anytime they feel like it, right?
Well, and they added an amendment that in 6 months, the Property Tax Commission gets to look at the equity of the bill. And so that was right.
It's like, well, I'm sorry. That doesn't seem like a particularly, you know, if it's like, if I make a deal with somebody, then part of the deal means that in 6 months I can undo the deal. I agree with you. It's like, just let the voters decide. And if the voters decided that they didn't, okay, then the chips fall where they may. And like you said, we could do it. So,
I don't know if you have these statistics, but how much has, let's say, an average house or, I don't know, $1 million house, $500,000 house, how much additional property tax were they hit with the abolition of Gallagher, and how much did they claw back in the two special sessions?
Well, you would like to have that information. No one could seem to provide any statistical evidence of anything because I put forth the bill to restore Gallagher. I said, well, all of you guys try to fight all this nonsense, let's just restore Gallagher. Let's go back to the basics. And while you try to put the ballot initiatives on and see what the voters are going to do, restore Gallagher for right now. I mean, I know it wasn't a cure-all for everything, but we certainly didn't have businesses closing and seniors are losing their homes and people only being able to afford apartments. So let's just restore it. And within minutes, they killed that bill. I mean, it went right to the kill committee.
Well, and it seems to me the bottom
line. So is there anyone who, you know, not that you can trust the Independence Institute, but is there anyone who said, okay, net-net, this is how much it cost you for the appeal of Gallagher, and this is how much it, with these two special sessions, it'll save you. That seems like it should be able to possibly done.
Well, I mean, how can they? When you throw out two dozen bills. I mean, their constituents couldn't even sign up to testify for these bills. I mean, we throw all these bills out that weren't even available with fiscal notes. I mean, we do it all the time. And then the people of Colorado can't even testify in favor or against the bills.
Right. Well,
so no one knows what the net loss. I mean, I have people in local government, fire departments that, you know, taking out the champagne bottles and chugging them with happiness, because this is a lot more money than they ever thought they could get. And they're just thrilled about it. But I mean, it is typical that we can't even say how much is saved for a homeowner.
But Chuck,
that's
you
all
just
I care about.
You're saving money. Just trust them. Just trust
yeah,
them,
just
right,
trust
Andy?
It.
Just trust the government. We're here to help.
Barbara Kirkmayer and Michael Field, who used to be with Americans for Prosperity, a wonderfully crooked organization. Michael Field said this is a huge plus for Colorado homeowners. And everybody said, well, what's a huge plus? Oh, don't worry about that. It's a huge plus. And same with Barb Kirkmayer. But what really conservative senators voted for it? I haven't seen a list. Do you have a list of the 22 people who voted against it?
Myself, I don't, because I wasn't in the Senate when the senators voted. I know that Baisley and Van Winkle voted against it. And then in the House, it was myself, Bottoms, and DeGraff, and then all the progressive communists voted against it because we're all just oligarchs and we just want to save the rich white man money. That's, you know.
It is
progressive communists voted against it.
Yeah, the grassroots vote, and then you have the communists vote together. Well, I mean, which kind of sums it up. Because what this was, it was a deal cooked up by governments who want to keep as much money as they can. I mean, to me, it just seems sort of like in our home budget, when we have less income, we have to spend less, right? We don't go rob stores. We don't take it from our neighbors or anything like that. And it just seems to me that if you're a local government, and they always trot out the fire departments because that sound and the paramedics and stuff, but it's like if you're a local government and, you know, you're bringing in less taxes, then you have to spend less money, right? I mean, you look at, I mean, to me, that's it's same with the government, right? It's like that seems to me to be the answer. Not to screw around with all these property tax formulas and figure out, I mean, I don't know. Am I crazy here? Or
Senator Baisley had a great bill on that. Restore the special districts back to a baseline budget. And when they need something extraordinary, like an extra fire truck, they have to go to the people and ask the people to approve that budget. I said in State Affairs before my Gallagher that I knew they were going to kill. Maybe I should have run a bill on how to balance the budget. Or write or balance your checkbook, because we've all seemed to forgotten how to balance a budget. We all have these ATM cards. I think the special districts do too, and they just put it on their Visa. It's like everyone has forgotten how to balance your budget.
Yeah, at a certain point.
Going back to your total, so there were 5 Republicans and 17 Democrats who voted against this bill.
I can pull those votes for you. I think I took a picture. I can't remember who all the House Republicans were that voted. But the logic was this, and to defend the Republican caucus was, you know, based on fear, because we have seen Denver and Boulder, is that if we for this bill and we don't give $1.6 million in property tax relief and we do go to forward on the ballot initiatives and then the people of Boulder and Denver vote against the ballot initiatives, then there's no property tax relief.
Right.
And then
right.
Where are we? So
right.
I see
well, where
the
you
other
are,
side
is,
of things,
is
right?
That
you can
all
see
the
other
people,
side of things.
Well, all the people that are mad about all the taxes they're paying will blame the Democrats and you'd be in great shape. I mean, you'd only control... You know, some minor portion of the House and the Senate. So who are they going to be mad at? The Republicans? No. They'd be mad at the Democrats.
Well, and their lies were the reason I voted. But I did look up Initiative 50, and it was written very, you know, they try to take these initiatives and they try to make them very complicated. It was like, do you support an increase in property taxes? The way it was written was kind of to dupe the average voter to vote against these ballot initiatives. So I think that that's where Michael Fields was coming from. So I was trying to kind of see, I'll tell you, it took me down to the last minute to vote against it because I was like, do I save my constituents $1.6 billion, which is a for sure vote? But when they started to add the amendments onto it, I was like, you know, I prayed a lot over it, and I just felt very good about saying, no, let's give it to the voters and let them decide what they want to do.
Well, and then hopefully then, like you said, in 6 months, they're going to look at this and see if it's equal, which of course they'll decide it's not. So they'll mess this up again. So you'll have to, hey, Brandy, I think we're going to let you go. You're getting a little glitchy. Not you personally. Your feed, but thank you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, we appreciate seeing you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you guys. Thank you so
Take
much.
Care.
God bless.
That's Bye-bye. Right. Jacob says, why can't we vote Gallagher back into the Constitution? We probably could, right? Check if people would, but nobody want, I mean, people might want it, but the governments, everybody would line up against it,
well,
right?
Before all the commercial interests. That's why, you know, we brought in, what's his name from the Independence Institute. And we said, well,
Ben Murray.
This is such a bad deal. Why don't we just keep Gallagher? Oh, you know, it can't be Gallagher. It's unequitable, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of go, you know, that's a ridiculous reason. And so, you know, the voters screwed themselves the first time, and the legislature screwed them the second time. And typical, they can't tell you what the net effect of any of it is.
Well, I know, you know, Ben Murray with the Independence Institute did a good job. We had him on the show. Now, this is a while ago when they first started talking about this, right? This would have been almost a year ago now. And he had some numbers, and he was explaining that what the legislature was doing wasn't really going to do very much at all, right, for the average homeowner.
Right.
And so they can get the numbers if they want, and you see them throw some numbers around.
Well, the $1.6 billion.
But again, but
know?
To me, yeah, divided by what, you know,
right.
and to me, it's sort of like the bottom line is that I don't even know why we're having that discussion. It's sort of like, as a property tax payer, I have to live within a budget, right? I can't just pay you more money because, you know what I mean? Because you want it. So it seems to me the government should have to live in a budget too. I mean, that should be, I think, the first place they go to. And then if it is so disastrous or so, you know, dismal, then you can come to the voters and say, hey, can we get some more money? But you don't start with just give us more money, because as you pointed out, you give them more money, you never get that back.
You never get it back. And then, you know, quite frankly, the fire departments could care less about fire trucks. They care about their own salaries. And so everything will be hooked in. It'll give themselves a salary and go, oh, we've got no money for a truck. And we'll ask them to give us
right
a truck. But
right. Yeah, they don't ever say to give us a raise, right? It's to give us a truck, a fire truck.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they've conned everybody into saying that, oh, when you need a new truck, you
right.
just have to ask the voters. And you kind of go... It's just a way to get more money into the system to pay them more. Because if
exactly.
you're them, you kind of, do I want to get paid more? Yeah. Do I care with the truck? Yeah.
This is from Charlene. Brandy is awesome. Chuck is right. It was a bipartisan photo op for Polis and Kukemeyer. That's true.
And you know, all the thing that all the progressive groups are upset about it, that is such a con.
They can be upset about it because they knew it was going to pass, right? So they get to go around and say, oh, we're so upset about it. And it's like, they don't, I mean, you know, they don't care either, right? It's they knew it was going to pass, so you could, you know, you could vote against it and say, ha-ha, I'm a communist. And in the meantime, it passes, right? And you're like, well,
right.
I tried to stop it. So
yeah, I tried to stop it. Well, you know, I mean, they should have just let it go to a vote.
Yes.
The vote fails, and then the vote fails.
Right.
And everybody's going to blame the Democrats and you're going to win. Instead, you go, the vote fails. So our constituents, which constitute, I don't forget what percent of the legislature have, maybe 20%. And they're going to blame the Democrats, but Republicans never get that. They never get, oh, I see.
Right. I think Republicans are being lobbied by the same people, right? The municipalities,
well, the
special
same,
districts.
I mean, you know,
yeah. I mean, advanced
media. Love this compromise. Just said,
right.
What a great one. And Michael Fields, I've really stood up for the, you know, bull.
Right. Well, and what, and Brandy just said, they've already, within 6 months, they can basically redo it, right? So,
yeah. So
that didn't do much. Hey, listen, I think I'm going to maybe, Chuck and I, we snagged tickets to Tucker Carlson and Tulsi Gabbard.
And we're trying to get Tucker for our show.
We're going to get Tucker for our show. And I mean, that should be just a blast to go see him. So I think we're going to knock off a little bit early because we got to get ourselves to Colorado Springs. But I want to thank Brandy and Carl, and we'll stay on the 310 thing. Cause I just am really worried that that's going to pass. That's just the kind of thing.
Well,
that
then
could...
we can do, well, you know, you so many elections in which you're, you know, the failure of the conservatives to beat the progressives will result in just awful things for so many people.
I don't even know why I'm laughing. It's Party Friday. That's why I'm laughing. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and to the guys at BBS. And it's time for Party Friday.
And we'll see you Monday.